And welcome back to hour number two. We thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday. A lot of big doings in high school football as we start the race towards Pitbull Stadium at FIU, and certainly a lot of great football being played. Just letting you know, if you miss anything this evening, you could check it out after our show or tomorrow morning on WQAM.com. Just go to the QAM.com website, go to the top where it says podcast, and there we are, and you could catch up on everything we've done. As I said, high school football is now down the home stretch, and certainly some really, really good games will loom over the next month in the state of Florida. Certainly 7A, 1 through 7A will be playing at Pitbull Stadium. The rural programs, which we don't have, I guess Pahokee would be the closest one to South Florida, will be playing at the Villages. Somebody's on top of this 24/7, 365 is John Santucci from USA Today. We're kind enough to join him on a Wednesday. John, thanks so much for taking the time. I know you're a hugely busy guy this time of year.
Yeah, there's not a lot of days off right now, but man, this is the time of year you love if you're a high school football fan, and you know, yeah, it's our job, but we love it. So
yeah,
having a lot of fun right now.
Surprise, surprise, a lot of drama, obviously, as we enter the state championship. Two teams that had an opportunity to maybe reach the finals in 1A, obviously the Academy in Orlando, who certainly played extremely well the whole year. The first Academy beat Orlando Edgewater, beat Sanford Seminole. And I know you've had an opportunity to see him plenty. And then in 3A, Miami Central, a team that had a forfeit all nine games, and certainly was a program that was penciled in, if not penned in, to maybe reach the finals as well. Talk about that as a kickoff before we even get things started.
Yeah, it definitely was not a smooth run, right, up to Friday's announcements of the brackets. And TFA out of Orlando, you know, it's just such an interesting story. They had, what, more than 30 kids transfer in, you know, allegations out the wazoo. And the reality is, you know, teams are fine if you're not taking their players. But once you start taking their players, they're going to start reporting you. So, you know, a lot of allegations, clearly, you know, When you see the FHSAA say, we're fining you $36,000, clearly they had evidence to back up a lot of those claims. And, you know, I think the thing, honestly, that surprised me, too, was the First Academy was not subtle in its response. You know, all this came down before the Week 11 game against Calvary out of Clearwater. And they played all those kids, and they had their full coaching staff on the sidelines, which to me was not exactly a good way to go into an appeal with the FHSAA by thumbing your nose at them. So,
yeah.
But I also think that First Academy is probably looking to go towards the IMG model, is my guess. I think they'll probably, you know, withdraw from the FHSAA as far as being a district team and pursuing those kind of state championships. So I think they're headed that way. This might actually speed up that process, if at all. And then Miami Central, you know, the crazy thing is, man, you know, you and I heard this coming a while ago. Or we heard whispers about it, and then obviously when it came through. And I thought there was still a chance that they would get in just on strength of schedule, because that's one of the weaker regions in Florida.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously it didn't go that way. But, you know, TFA, I think, would have had a really tough out, you know, beating Clearwater, because that would have been the regional championship game, them and CCC, and obviously that's the team that Chaminade has beaten in state the last 2 years. I don't think anybody's beaten Chaminade in 1A, so I think it just matters about who gets there.
Yeah.
But, you know, really tough, obviously, because I think a lot of people, myself included, were really looking forward to a potential Central Northwestern rematch, just for the glory of it all. And, you know, unfortunately, we're not going to get that.
And, you know, John, the thing that hurts the most are those, a lot of those innocent kids. You know, the Ezekiel Marcelin, the Floyd Bouchards, kids that are playing their last year at the high school level with a lot of expectations that, hey, we could get to this thing and win it and, you know, and take back what we lost the last year. And those are the guys you feel worse for, because these kids had nothing, zero, absolutely nothing to do with the, you know, what would happen and why they got, you know, suspended on all those games and taken away. So you feel really bad for those type of kids. Then you get the minor infractions. Miami Norland, and you were at the game where one of their players got kicked out, and then he played the week after. And certainly, in retrospect, just that really hurt them, because here's Heritage.
That flipped everything. Yeah.
Exactly. And has a number one seed as well.
Right. So Norland wins the game on the field against Heritage, ends up having to forfeit that game because of an ineligible player. Now American Heritage, and the, you know what, I wonder what would have happened with the Miami Central, because obviously both those teams got a win from playing Central. But Heritage vaults to the number one team in 4A. So now instead of Heritage having to go to Norland in the third round, which quite frankly to me is the regional is maybe the best regional final in Florida, if they get there, obviously, but I think they both will. Yeah. Instead of getting that in Miami, now they're going to go to a much smaller venue in Plantation and play, and now literally the state championship goes through American Heritage.
Yeah. And you're 100% right. But and all that happened because of the fact that you, if you play at Trask Powell Stadium, you can put a billion kids and, you know, fans in there. Now you play at Heritage, as Northwestern found out a couple of years in a row, you're limited. And they close things off, and you can't sit at the fence, and you can't do anything. So it gives a huge advantage to Northwestern. I mean, to Heritage. But you take a look at a situation at Western, where Western had to give up two games because obviously they used ineligible players. And you know, when you look at it, they probably could have been a 2-3 seed if they, you know, because they finished very strong. They won five in a row on the field. And now they have to open up against Palmetto on a Friday night in a 2-7, which is kind of like, you look, if you're Palmetto, you go, well, wait a minute. You know, we're playing, this may be the best matchup of any first-round game in the state.
Yeah, you know, as far as, I think there's probably 5 or 6 games that you kind of look at, either because they played already or because how they finished. I think Flagler, Palm Coast, and Spruce Creek in Region 1, 7A is going to be a really good first-round game. I think there's several others that you kind of go, okay, that has some potential. To me, you know, Western Palmetto is one of those games that everybody around the state, if you're a football fan, should have circled. Obviously, Palmetto's played well throughout the year. Western's played one of the toughest schedules in Florida. And, you know, unfortunately for them, they had to forfeit two games. But you know, it's a honestly, you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. There was a chance that this was going to be a 1-8 game with them in Columbus right off the bat. So, to me, and I, you know, my picks are out there. I've picked Western regardless of whatever the bracket was going to look like. I just feel like that's the best team in that region. So, you know, it's a great matchup, though. I mean, just if you're a football fan, I mean, like, this is so much fun. Yeah. Like, this time of year is just so much fun.
No doubt. John Santucci joins us, USA Today. 2A, does Coke go three-peat here?
I have enough. You know what? Honestly, I think Cardinal Mooney might be the dark horse in this thing. I think you have to look on paper and say Coco and Gadsden County probably look like they're on some kind of a collision course. But, you know, you got to look at what Coco's going to, you know, if they're going to get to the Final Four, which they have 16 years in a row, they've been a Final Four team. You got to beat Berkeley Prep, which is a 2M, you know, champ last year. And obviously they've been down, but they still got Dallas Golden and JoJo Troop in that backfield. So there's no easy win there. And then you're probably playing the Bradford-Newberry winner. And Newberry already beat Bradford. Newberry's got two Power Four commits in the middle of that defensive line, you know, including Micah Newton, who's going to Miami. And that is Coco's weakness this year, has been their guard play. So You know, anytime I see a really good a team that's playing good ball at the end of the year and their strength is where you're weak, I always kind of think, okay, there's a possibility here. Now, can you stop you know, Javon Boggs, who's, you know, amazing. I don't know. Don't know if you stop Brady Hart. I don't know if you can, you know, keep Javon Hilson out of the quarterback's lap. But I think Newberry is going to be a tough out. Bradford always has a good defense. You look at Region 1, Gadsden County, Bowles, Florida High, and Pensacola Catholic are your top four teams. That's a who's who in 2A.
Yeah, easily.
So
easily.
Whoever gets to the championship, and by the way, we haven't even talked about Booker T. You know, Booker T's playing really good ball. Booker T's losses are some really, you know, okay, I have no problem with those losses. You know, obviously in the Vero game, you know, easily could have gone the other way. That's a really good class, which could have a really great Final Four. You know, whoever comes out of Region 1, I think it's going to be Cardinal Mooney in Region 2,
okay,
or Region 3, you know, Coco and Booker T. Sign me up all day for that Final Four. That's going to be outstanding football.
Like old school. They used to do that back in the day. They used to meet a lot. Are we in agreement 3A it'll be a Rains Northwestern match? Or
I don't see anybody else. You know, no offense to O'Galley or Bishop Moore, because I think those are probably the next two teams in that conversation. You know, Rains just doesn't – there's just such an easy path. And like you said, you know, Region 4 where Northwestern and Central would have been that there's a huge drop off in the rankings after Northwestern,
right?
You know, and that's no shot to any. That's just the math of it, right? I mean, you go from one of the hardest schedules in the state to, you know, you haven't really done it. So I don't see how that's not the state championship.
Right.
Northwestern Rains. I think that might be the easiest one to project in the
state. Well, what about Heritage and Jones and 4A?
Well, you're already getting past Norland. You know,
no, or Heritage or Norland.
I think whoever wins,
I get crucified.
Game,
I just had an NEO you pour on.
I think whoever wins that game, which, by the way, can I just say again, I love that matchup. I love great offense and great defense getting it together on the field. So, you know, to me, that I'm really looking forward to that. But, you know, the winner of that game most likely plays Jones. You know, and Jones isn't going to have an easy run either. I mean, their region, you're looking second round at possibly seeing Burnell Brown against DJ Pickett,
yeah,
you know. So there's a lot of good matchups there, and then they're going to have to beat either Vanguard or Lake Wales again. So Jones has been playing real good. They haven't been as dominant, I think, as maybe some people expect them to be, but they haven't lost. Obviously, you're talking about a bunch of Power 4 talent at the skill positions for Jones. And, you know, Elijah Williams does such a good job with that program. So I would say it's going to be Jones against the Norland Heritage winner. I'm just not willing to concede who it's going to be.
For the first time in 14 years, St. Thomas isn't a one seed, which I think that they kind of will shake off a little bit. Their schedule has just been crazy. Atlantic is the number one. Do you look at St. Thomas? I do. I think they go, and it's not cut and dry who they'll play, because obviously everyone looks at Lakeland, but Tampa Bay Tech and Edgewater loom at the top.
Yeah, Edgewater hasn't lost since, and I went to the Jones game in you know, mid-September, and they played just a poor first half, and they played a really good second half. So that game, you know, there were some turnovers late that I think, you know, the score wasn't really indicative. Edgewater's playing really good ball. And you know, I don't know how much – I didn't – you know, you watched the more of the Lakeland Sebring game than I did, but
right.
I think Sebring probably did some things that teams are going to look to copy against Lakeland's offense. So, you know, for my money, I don't see somebody, you know, in the region beating Aquinas. Like, you know, I said this before the season. I felt like of any team in the state, if they were able to run the table, St. Thomas Aquinas could have been in the national championship conversation had they run the table.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
that schedule
right.
was too good. And they don't, and I give them credit because they usually don't play that level of opponent. But when you're every week playing one of the top five games in the state, I give them a lot of credit for that. I feel like they're probably the most battle-tested team in Florida. And, you know, they're still going to be the team to beat. So I don't care how many losses they have or what their seed is.
No, I agree.
Nobody wants to play Aquinas.
Let me, because we got to run. Could it be West Boca Raton and Armwood in 6A?
It could be. You know, I think Mitchell's going to give West Boca everything it can handle in the second round. And I'm not saying that Mitchell's going to beat him. I just think that West Boca is going to have a really tough game. I love West Boca's defense. I think the Mallory kids are both really good. And I think Potts has built this thing all to this year, you know, to get to this point. So, and Armwood, to me, you know, just phenomenal. Yeah. Now, by the way, whoever comes out of Region 1 is going to be no slouch. You got Nice. You've got Pace, which I really like. I think Buchholz might be the team that comes out of that region. I think I picked them. Whoever comes out of that region, I think, is going to be the other team that really has a say in this thing.
No doubt. Who's playing Venice in 7A?
Who cares? No, I'm just kidding. you know, I want to say Western, but because of the way it's going to break out, Western's going to end up playing Venice in the
semis, yeah. Or the state semis, yeah.
Which there's no way, you know, obviously there's no way they can meet for state. You know, I think Lake Mary is a team that a lot of people want to pencil in. I think that's a really tough region.
Yes.
And then, you know, obviously you're probably looking at the Palm Beach Central. Dr. Phillips winner, I think, would be coming out of Region 3. So I would probably lean toward Venice against whoever comes out of Region 1, which I think we picked Lake Mary to win that one.
Okay. John, let everybody know how they can follow you, social media, also on your many, many websites there.
Yeah, at John Santucci, JonSantucci on social media. And then, you know, basically Palm Beach Post would be the closest one for your listeners. But, yeah, all my stuff's on the Palm Beach Post site.
John, I can't thank you enough, brother. We'll catch up soon.
Always good talking to you, my friend.
You too. John Santucci, USA Today, knows his stuff. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, you know they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and even youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, talk high school football. Coach Mike Manasco from Palmetto is next.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.